Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. With the uncertainty of the final results in the recent presidential election, it is good for each of us to take a deep breath and open the Bible. Today we'll do exactly that as I bring to my broadcast table Ken Timmerman. Ken and I will discuss how the Middle East leaders in particular fear that a Biden presidency will be a return to an Obama administration. Ken and I will also cover not only the Middle East, but thoughts from Russia, Iran, Turkey, and other world leaders. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing when Ken comes to the broadcast table. I want to remind you that I have a website. It will keep you up to date as we look at current events and, in fact, in light of biblical prophecy. On my website, prophecytoday.com, on the home page, right there in the center of the page, we give you the top 10 news stories that are happening around the world. And then I come back after you read that story and give you a prophetic perspective as to how these current events are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com, and bookmark that site. In light of the uncertainty as to who the next president will be, and in fact, the idea that world leaders are moving ahead as if Joe Biden will be that next president, we're going to make an approach with our broadcast partners and question them as to what the situation might be if indeed Joe Biden does come out as the next president of the United States. I want to remind you, however, that the political events of this world are actually setting the stage for the prophetic scenario to be fulfilled. And in light of that, we now go to Ken Timmerman. Ken is the man who covers geopolitical activities for us, and we go to him first because so many things happening on the geopolitical stage we need to cover, and then we start to specify by going to different regions of the world. Ken, let me just begin with this very simple question. If indeed Joe Biden does become the next president, would that be a return to the Obama era?
Vice President has said it would be. He said he would return to the Iran deal. That is probably the most significant thing. He would return to trying to the traditional policy of trying to force Israel to make concessions to the Palestinians in exchange for who knows what, because we know that the Palestinians do not want peace. They've had many opportunities to make peace with Israel, and they've rejected every single one of them. But I think the Iran deal is the one that is on everybody's mind right now.
I've been reading and watching and talking with our broadcast partners in the Middle East. They say that there really is a mixed reaction to a Biden victory across the entire Middle East.
Well, look, if I am the leader of, say, Morocco or Tunisia or Egypt or even Saudi Arabia, I want to be, or Israel for that matter, I want to be very cautious. I want to cover all of my bases. If I have had a good relationship with Donald Trump, as Bibi Netanyahu has had, I don't want to get crossways with Donald Trump, but I also want to extend a hand to Joe Biden just in case he does actually win the election, which he hasn't done yet. Let's not forget, Joe Biden has not won the election. He is not president-elect. You only become president-elect, you know, in one of two cases. Either your opponent has conceded, of course, Donald Trump has not conceded, or when the states certify the vote. And the states are a long ways from certifying the vote. I can tell you there's recounts in Wisconsin, recounts in Michigan, recounts in Georgia, and these hand recounts are really the only way that the voters can be certain that their election systems, the electronic voting systems that I talk about in the election heist, have not been hijacked. Because it looks like they have been hijacked. And when you see discrepancies between the vote count, how you know that this has happened.
You know, it almost seems like you were a prophet when you wrote your book, The Election Heist, and laid out the scenario that you foresaw would unfold. That's an amazing opportunity that we have. If somebody would like to purchase the book, where would they go to get that, Ken?
Easiest thing, you can just Google it, go to Amazon.com, and you'll find The Election Heist. And finally, you know, people are starting to pay attention because I predicted exactly what's happening. There's scenes in the book that are exactly playing out today, including right down to how we're discovering the heist. In the book, it's because of supervisors of elections who are, you know, they're looking at the election results on the night of November 3rd, and they're saying, this just doesn't look right. And they start to do a test recount of a precinct or two precincts, and bit by bit, they pull the threads. That's exactly what's playing out in front of our eyes in Georgia, in Michigan, and in other states. So just go to Amazon, go to my website, kentimmerman.com, and you can see some of the things that I've been writing about this as well.
And Judy and I have both read the book. It's an amazing layout of what has been happening in the last couple of weeks and what probably is going to happen in the near future. Well, in light of what's going on, there are concerns among the Arab nations. Is there going to be an unraveling of the peace accords, the Abraham Accords, with the State of Israel if a Biden-Harris administration come to power? What are your thoughts?
Well, this is a very dangerous possibility and a very real possibility. Already, you've got Senator Menendez, the Democrat from New Jersey, who is the ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and generally he has been very pro-Israel. But he has been talking recently about rescinding the U.S. offer to sell F-35 fighter jets to the United Arab Emirates. And that was a perk, basically, that the Trump administration offered the UAE in exchange for joining the Abraham Accords. And it looks like a Biden administration would seek to punish those countries that have joined the Abraham Accords, including the State of Israel. The Saudis in a Biden administration have already shown that they are very wary of a Biden administration resuming the Iran deal. They have been reaching out to their neighbors. They've been reaching out to European countries and others to continue putting pressure on Iran and to resist the call to return to the Iran deal. The Saudis have been saying quite rightly that the Iranian regime, with its nuclear weapons program that we all know has been underway for, we now know it's been underway for, you know, over 20 years, they are the real threat to peace in the Middle East. It's not, you know, the Arab countries. It's certainly not Israel that's the threat. It's the Iranian regime and the threat of Islamic terrorism, both. And by the way, one fuels the other. So I think there is a lot of concern that a Biden administration would walk us back to the Obama years when it was safer to be a mullah in Tehran chanting death to America than to be a Jew in his capital, Israel, trying to build an apartment.
And, of course, those mullahs there in Iran celebrating what they hope will be the return to that nuclear bomb operation. They're very close to having a nuclear weapon of mass destruction that could be on their agenda very quickly. In fact, that's why the Saudi king, I do believe, Ken, is urging a firm stance against Iran. I mean, the people in Saudi Arabia are much concerned, but the entire Middle East the same way.
Well, that's right. And if you just listen to the national media, to the ABCs, to the CNN and all the rest, you live in an alternate universe to the one that these leaders in the Middle East are living in. They understand the threat from Iran. If you listen to CNN, there is no threat from Iran. The Saudis and the others, they are on the receiving end of Iranian terrorism. Israel has been on the receiving end of Iranian terrorism and continues to be bracketed, as we speak today, by 150,000 Iranian-made missiles that they've sent to Hezbollah in Lebanon, as well as many more thousands of missiles that the Iranians have sent to Hamas in Gaza. So in the Middle East, they are living in reality. They are living the reality of the Iran threat. And I really fear that in our country, where people have been brainwashed by the national media, they're living in an alternate universe.
You know what I've been observing as we've watched the Middle East very closely on this broadcast for many, many years, that the Arab states, very interesting, for the very first time, the Arab states are drawing closer to Israel to combat not only Iran, but also Turkey, and the fact that these are non-Arab countries that want to go after Israel. Have you observed the exact same thing?
That's so tremendously important, Jimmy, and you are 100% right. And this is going to happen, by the way. It will continue to happen regardless of what a Biden administration might do. It's going to be hard for them to walk back the reality of an Erdogan in Turkey, an Erdogan who wants to be the head of this Turan army, is what he calls it. It's a pan-Turkic army with Azerbaijan, with Kazakhstan, with other Turkic nations there in Central Asia, and he's been calling for this for a number of years, having a pan-Turkish army and becoming the dictator of a pan-Turkish union. It's a throwback to the Ottoman Empire, and we know, you and I have discussed that on this program, that Erdogan admires the aggressive expansionist period of the Ottoman Empire when they reached up to the gates of Vienna, right, with the Islamist and Islamic armies. So Erdogan wants to repeat that. The Arab countries are worried about that. And if they cannot rely on it, on the United States, because of a Biden administration would not be helping them, then they're going to turn to Israel.
And in fact, I understand that Erdogan wants to put together this army that you've been talking about, revealing to us, and compete with NATO. Can they possibly do that, or is just this a idea that is in Erdogan's mind?
I think it's a strong possibility, and I'll tell you why, Jimmy, very quickly, is that NATO has become an empty shell. The only reason NATO exists as a military force today is because of the United States. The French have scaled down their armed forces. The Germans have scaled back their armed forces. Few countries are spending anywhere close to the 2% of their GDP that they are required to under the NATO agreement. So it used to be 3% in the 1980s. Now it's 2%, and they still can't meet it. So NATO has become an empty shell. It is not a big, active military force, except for the U.S. troops that are part of it. If the Biden administration scales back the U.S. military, as I believe they will be forced to do with all of their vast spending programs that they've outlined, $4 trillion on coronavirus relief and another $4 trillion for the Green New Deal, then you could have this pan-Turkic army, the Turan army, as the main force in the Central European, the Eurasian landmass. That is everything from the border with Europe. Remember, Turkey is itself on that border in the Bosphorus, right? Half of Turkey is in Europe, half of it's in Asia. You will have that pan-Turkic army with that enormous hinterland into Central Asia facing Europe the same way as it did during the Ottoman Empire.
That's the voice of Ken Timmerman. He's an international journalist. He's a best-selling author. Remember the book, The Election Heist. You want to get a copy of it. And he's our friend and broadcast partner right here on Prophecy Today. Thank you so much, Ken. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. God bless.
Very important discussion with Ken Timmerman as we look at what Middle Eastern leaders are saying about a Biden administration. In fact, Ken's report on a Biden presidency that would be a remake of the Obama administration is what is giving Middle Eastern leaders a fear of the future. But they could be relieved if all politicos, even you and I today, will turn to the Bible. Romans chapter 13 does say that God puts presidents in their positions. Revelation chapter 17, verse 17, says that the Lord also puts in the hearts of these leaders to make political decisions that will fulfill God's will for the future. These biblical promises should give each of us peace of mind about the future. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today intelligence briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.